This week is Parshas Shelach. Shelach Lecha Anashim. Beautiful Parsha, beautiful Haftarah. It's not often that we learn from Yehoshua. How many times do you learn a Haftarah from Yehoshua? I think three times. You learn Yehoshua on Simchas Torah. And you learn Parsha Shelach. And you learn also on Pesach. Pesach, you learn the second chapter. Right, the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua. You learn from Yehoshua. It's not often, I think it's the least. The shuls that purchase a set of Nevi'im, the last one to buy is Yehoshua, because that's the one that you learn the least. There are the fewest Haftorahs from Yehoshua from all the other Haftorahs. It's hard to get a sponsor for Yehoshua. It's easy to get a sponsor for Yeshaya, because Yeshaya you learn quite a bit. But you learn the whole year. But you don't learn to open Yeshua, so it's interesting that we have a chance this week to learn Yehoshua and to read about the Meraglim, the Rachav, and the whole, all of the very top. But let's begin with the beginning of the parasha. Let's talk a little politics, maybe. Just a tinge of politics. Again, always get into trouble with politics. Every issue in society you can find in the Torah. And as a hakdama, a disclaimer, before I put my foot in my mouth, just because what's good for society, we live in a secular country. And what's good for America is good for America. I'm not by any means an expert on in politics and the way what should be. And in my opinion, it's not worth anything anyway. And the country can do whatever it wants. We're not balabatim on the country, on any country for that matter. But the Torah presents for us a way of living. Eretz Yisrael is not a Torah state. Not far, far from it, but the Torah still presents for us the ideal. What should be a Torah state, and what is the lessons, and it's just that things that happen in society awaken us to look in the parasha to get a better appreciation of, well, what does the Torah say about this. Doesn't necessarily mean that what the Torah says about this should be put in practice in a secular community, a society, because what's good for us is not necessarily good for a country. So that's a basic disclaimer. But the point I want to make over here is Shlach Lecha Anashim Yosuvis Eretz Kanan. Rashi over here says, the second Rashi, Shlach Lecha Ledatcha. You want to send messengers? Go ahead. Do what you want. Freedom. You have freedom. I'm not telling you what to do. I am not telling you what to do. Im tirtzeh shalach, if you want to send, send. Lefi, shabo Yisrael v'yamru nishlucha anoshim lefaneinu k'mosh nemar v'atik revun elai kulchem u'moyesh nimlach b'shchina omar ani amarti lechem. Hashem says, listen, I told you the land is beautiful. The land is spacious. The land is filled with blessing. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? You don't believe Hashem? Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim, who did for you the miracles, Makas Bechoros, you don't believe me? Okay. Do what you want. I told you, Shnemar, E'aleschem e'oni Mitzrayim u'goymer, chayehem sh'ani noisein lohem mokom lit. So you don't believe me? Okay, so you know what? Do what you want to do. You do what you want to do. Shlach lecha anoshim. Now, why am I saying this? We live in a society today. It's been a year and a half already, approximately, from the time Corona broke out. I can tell you, I don't know anything. I don't think too many people know anything. But over this last year and a half, there have been flare-ups. Again, another hakdama. I don't know anything. But there have been flare-ups throughout this country, throughout the world, again and again, of governments, institutions, private institutions, public institutions, parents, schools, telling people what to do. I'm telling you, I will control you. Pass laws. We're gonna force you to do certain things. We take for granted, we live in America. America is a country of freedom. And when you're dealing with life and death, okay, I get it. You know, you're not gonna let a person who's a danger to society roam the streets. You lock him up. Okay, there's a davar pashut ad me'od. And if a person is not all a danger to society and you want to lock him up because you just don't like his hairdo, okay, so we live in America. In America, we have freedom. This country, the greatest blessing is freedom. And then we have a lot in between, where we have situations which could be lethal to society, and there are situations which are not. Many situations we do not know. Maybe yes, maybe not, v'chulu, v'chulu. And over the last year and a half, there have been flare-ups in many, many situations, all different kinds, of where people have been accused, I don't know if it's right or wrong, of, don't tell me what to do. Mind your own business. We are blessed to live in a country whose foundation represents freedom. And as long as I'm not causing you harm, I'm not causing my fellow man harm, don't control me. Do not control me and force me to do this, 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 and this. If you have hard evidence, scientific facts, okay. You know, if your behavior is lethal, it's dangerous. Even if it's not dangerous, but if it creates a tone, it sets a certain type of mindset. Again, I don't know anything. I just want to point out is that it's undeniable that throughout the world, every day in the news, the flare-ups that have come about of people being accused of enjoying, taking pleasure in their emergency powers, in controlling people, when your control is not based upon science, not based upon facts, it's based upon your ability to control people. Again, right or wrong, I do not know. This is a very big issue in society. And we as Orthodox Jews, we are very much ruba de ruba, we follow the rules. That's been, you know, that's our nature. Not everyone, but most people, Orthodox Jews generally, they really, to a degree. And it's just very interesting here in this parsha, where the results were catastrophic. It was catastrophic, the results. They sent Meraglim. The Meraglim came back and issued a slanderous report, which resulted in the death of 600,000 people. Anyone over the age of 20 and above died because of the Meraglim. The Meraglim went, they spied on the land, they came back, they issued a slanderous report, Hashem got upset, and Hashem said, okay, you know what, you're all going to die. 40 years in the desert, no one here is going into the desert, you're going to have to wait for the next generation, you're all going to die, you're all going to suffer. Hashem knew this. And if Hashem warned, Hashem could have said to Klal Yisrael, no spies. He could have nipped it in the bud. I created this world. I took you out of Egypt. I gave you the Torah. I told you don't eat. What?
Take it or leave it.
I take it or leave it. I took you. I gave you the rules. I made the rules. You don't eat. No one here is allowed to eat non-kosher meat. No one's allowed to be mechallel Shabbos. What are you telling me? Go send spies. I'm telling you, the land is good, and just go into Eretz Yisrael, v'zehu, figure it out. No, I'm not controlling you.
But how do we explain, clearly Hashem is saying, shalach lecha, I don't need this, I don't want it, you don't have to do it. How did Yahushua send spies?
Okay, that's a whole different topic. That's a whole different topic of discussion. Okay, that's a whole different topic of Yoshua. Right? How was Yeshua? It's a different topic. Okay, we can't do that now. But right now, let's focus on this. It's shocking. Hashem knows, and Hashem already said, "Chayechem." I'm gonna. Shani noisin lochem mokoim litois. You don't want to believe me? Okay, do it yourself. And if you want, there's an opening for you for mass suicide, for mass casualties. Hashem is the government. Lockdown. Tell the people what to do. Tell the people what to do. This is a dangerous situation.
This is after 40 years of.
No, this is the beginning. This is in the second year. This is the second year from Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's going on over here? What's going on over here? This is not responsible of Hashem. This is not responsible. I mean, I don't have a clear answer. But one thing comes out from the parasha. What's called good? This is not science. What if the land is good or not good? That's, you know, it's all how you look at it. It's all arbitrary. It's all, you look, come to the Eretz Yisrael and you see certain things. A person who appreciates the spirituality of the land sees these things as a blessing. And those that are not wired in the spiritual world, they just miss the whole boat. And they see everything is a burden, is a nuisance. It's not what they expect, not what's right. We're not dealing over here with something scientific. We're dealing over here with an appreciation of something. Do you appreciate this land? If you go to Eretz Yisrael today, you can write a book describing all of its good qualities, and you can write a book describing all of the things that the average person is not pleased with. There's a lot of issues and problems. If you're a spiritual person, you will see that those issues are not issues. These are all blessings in disguise. And if a person doesn't want to go down that path, then whatever it is. But it's very, very fascinating where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets a very powerful tone. I'm not telling you what to do. There are grave dangers out there. Take precautions. Be smart. Be smart. Don't be foolish. Take precautions. But Hashem is not a control freak. He's not coming and setting up Yadus where he's going to abuse his power. Shalach Lucha. I mean, how else do you look at this pasuk? Look at the results. Hashem allowed there to be a mokoyim for the Jewish people basically to destroy themselves. And they did. 600,000 people died, 40 years in the desert, and we're still suffering from the fallout from this event. Why couldn't Hashem just say, stop, stop? I don't know. Well, what I'm trying to say is the second Rashi, Ani Eini Mitzave Lecha. I'm not telling you what to do. Why not? Because that's not Yadus. You don't control other people. Yadus is not communism. It's not communism. Every government, you know, there are laws. You have to be safe. You have to have laws and order, and people are a danger to society. They have to be locked up. That goes without saying. Children have to be protected. People that don't belong on the streets don't belong on the streets. If people are a danger, there are certain precautions you must take. I'm not trying to give any opinion about what happened this last year and a half. I'm not going there. Obviously, a lot of people died. A lot of people got very sick. There are a lot of horrors. Obviously, there's something very real. And the government needs to step in and create safeguards, rules, and laws and regulations. There's no question. But then there are people out there who like to take advantage and have this sickness of this control, power, and they get carried away and they abuse their power. You have to be very, very careful. Maybe it's good, I don't know, maybe that's the way it should be in America. I really don't know anything about this. But when you hear about this again and again and again, regurgitate this thing again and again, I saw myself a handful number of times in shul where people overreacted. No question about it. I came to a shul once. I was all, everyone was all messed up. This is already towards the end. Messed up totally, you know. Everyone is trained there like a robot to follow the rules. And one guy who knew Nebuch, he didn't know, he came, he was visiting, he came into shul, he wasn't wearing the mask. The person in charge, he ripped him to shreds in such a way that was beyond belief. Beyond belief. And I don't know about, to me, it was very clear the reason why it wasn't about safety and health. It was about control. This person committed a crime. He came into a military zone where you're not allowed, where you have to wear it. Okay, so deal with him appropriately. You don't have to go and shoot him. It was a little bit over the top. Not a little bit, it was a lot over the top. I called my agent. Where does this come from? Where does this nastiness come from? It's a violation of shlach lecha. In Yadus, you have to be very careful. It's not communism. Ani einoi mitzada v'yischa. Hashem grants us, Klal Yisrael, freedom. You have freedom. And Hashem puts the burden of taking care of ourselves upon us. We have to take our own precautions. We have to be safe. We have to do what is correct, what is logical, what is proper, what is fair. But don't go too far. The response should not be disproportionate, because there's no such thing in Yadus as total control of other people. Hashem sets the tone. Even though Hashem knew what the catastrophic results would be, it's not the way Hashem set up the world. Ani einoi mitzave lecha im tirtze shalach. Okay, let's go to another avart. This one I want to tell you, I want to share something I told you about Mayevsky. Mayevsky told me an incredible idea. Yeah, yeah.
Are there other proportions that say shalach lecha? Is a direct command from God, or no one's?
I don't know the answer. Perhaps. I don't know. I didn't delve into this issue. I don't know. Rashi makes it very clear. Lucha, it's, I'm not telling you what to do.
Listen,
free will. You live. Judaism is about freedom. Freedom of religion.
If what? Hashem,
kosher, shabbat. I mean, all that 631. Where's that spell?
Those, there's no freedom. You have no freedom in that matter. In that matter, there's no freedom, because in those matters, okay, those are the laws. Eretz Yisrael, an appreciation, that's what I'm trying to say. The Taryag Mitzvos, to a degree, is science. It's science. This is the way it is. You wear shatnez, this is Hashem's science. To appreciate Eretz Yisrael, if it's a good land or not a good land, in Hashem's rules, is not science. This is something that's up to you. I know what's good for you, but I'm not going to control you, because that's not how I want to create this set up this religion where I'm in control of you. There are things that are rules, 613 mitzvot, there's no room to budge. And then there are things in life, in where you live, in the land that I'm coming to bring you, the most basic thing, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. I'm giving it to you. I'm not going to control you. Do you like it? That's up to you. And even though I'm telling you that if you make a mistake, you realize the catastrophe, you're not a baby. You're a big boy. You make your own decisions. I've given you I've told you everything there is to know. Be careful. Be responsible. Okay, so I'm not, maybe in the United States of America, you know, we're all a bunch of babies, and we need to do all this. Good, gesunte heit. I don't want to mix politics with religion, with this pasuk. I'm just using the backdrop of what's going on in the world today. The flare-ups that you read about literally every single day in the news as a backdrop to have a greater appreciation of this pasuk. What's going on in the world, I'm not commenting. It's none of my business. Maybe whatever it is. But I want to use what's going on. What does the Torah say for us in an ideal Torah society, or some lesson for life? Let's separate ourselves. I don't know. I really don't know what's good and what's not good. Okay? I'm not making believe in anything. But read what it says, and based upon what's happening in the world, we should appreciate that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not a control freak. Shalach lecha. I told you the land is good. You want better than that? You don't want to believe me? Okay, do what you want. I'm not here to control you. Judaism is about freedom. It's not communism. It's when, and Hashem is not going to micromanage your life in every single shape and form. You don't want to take the precautions? You want to do crazy things? You're a fool. You're a fool. You learn all right. There's something to be learned from this. Shalach lecha. Don't think you're going to control someone. If you cannot get along, so you, if it comes to a point, you may have to separate yourself from them to take precautions. I'm going to control someone. I'll tell them what to do. Where do you draw the line? Here we're dealing with Eretz Yisrael. But there's a lesson to be learned. There's a lesson to be learned. Because look at the consequence. Look what happened. Hashem didn't want to protect us from this. Okay, let's go to another one.
That's
right.
Hashem wants to test them. Because they have failed. Hashem wants to test them before you enter Eretz Yisrael. I want to know if you're ready for the Shirah of Shin. I want to know if you're ready for that. And he said, you can do whatever you want. And if the Re'eh Anokhin of Tendis HaKem Ayon Baracha Uklalacha Ubacharata Bachayim Bacharata, this was my suggestion. Yibchar Betutot, Yibchar Bachayim. However, it's up to you. Let's take the next kind of test that you want to look if they're ready or not. I think that's what that happens here.
Fascinating. Absolutely. I want to share with you a Vardar Rabbi Maieski told me. This thing blew my mind. It blew my mind, and I need to give you a little Hagdama, short Hagdama. I don't want to spend too much time on this. And that relates to, it's all a matter of perspective. Okay, let me give you a little Hagdama. At the beginning of the parasha, Moshe says to Klal Yisrael, I'm sending you to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe tells them what to do when they come to Eretz Yisrael. He tells them to take for themselves fruit. The words Moshe uses to tell them in his instructions are ulekachtem mipri haaretz. Let me find the words of the pasuk. Vayishlach oisem Moshe l'suras eretz Kanan. Vayomer aleihem. Okay, I'm going further in the pasuk. Umoha aretz. Here it is. Pasuk chaf. It's right at the last pasuk before Shein. Moshe Rabbeinu gives the tribes explicit instructions, ulekachtem, you shall take mipri ha'aretz. Bring back a souvenir. Sample of the land, mipri ha'aretz. Okay, fine. The spies go and they inspect the land. It comes time to take a sample, a souvenir. They go to the gift shop. And what do? They don't, the pasuk you would expect they should follow Moshe's command, Vayikhu ulekachtem lekicha. The pasuk should say, Vayikhu lohem. It says instead, Vayichrisu. They cut down Misham, Zemoira, the Eshkol, Ano vimechad, Vayisu, Vamod Bishnoim. That's not what Moshe told them to do. Moshe told them, ulekachtem. The Torah records their actions with the word vayichrisu. There's a very big difference between the connotation of ulekachtem and the connotation of vayichrisu. The connotation of ulekachtem means a delicate, enjoyable, joyous taking. How do I know this? Because it says in Parshas Emor, by the mitzvah of Lulav and Esroik, ulekachtem lochem, pri eitz hodar, kapos tevodah, v'anaf eitz avos, Usimachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. To take something to rejoice. The word vayichrisu is more often used in reference to war. You cut down, you chop off. Kores is not a very pleasant word. A person, Rachman Litzlan, there's a penalty called kores. Okay, not very pleasant to talk about the word kores. Vayichrisu, they cut down with like an anger, with hatred, with an attitude, malice. Chazal tell us the spies in the very beginning, already knew what the report was. The report was already written before they even began. Okay? It was before they even set out, they already had the whole report that this land is horrible, we don't want to go, v'chul, v'chul. Soif ma'is v'machshava techila. Moshe told them, ulekachtem, they behaved in a despicable manner by yichrasu. So Rabbi Mayevsky, he elaborated upon this with the following idea. I'm elaborating a little bit more, I'm going to say it correctly. Part of their complaint was the following. They come to the land, they talk about the people living in the land. You know, we know there's such a thing that the culture, the environment. You know, the environment of a land. Everyone knows, and there's one of the most fundamental differences between America and the Middle East, and especially Eretz Yisrael, is in America, it's an indoor life. Most of the time in America, you spend indoors. You go to Florida, that's certainly the case in the summertime. It's an indoor life. You're in buildings most of them. Eretz Yisrael, it's an outdoor existence. That's how it is. Even when you're indoors, the windows are wide open, the doors are open, there's no insulation. You feel like you're always outdoors to a very large degree in Eretz Yisrael because it's a beautiful climate. The environment is a whole different type of life, a whole different climate. You know, that has an effect on people. The environment, and that's just one of them, the food, the minerals, you know, there's an environment and it adds to a person's personality. When they describe the people, what do they say about the people? They said, we saw there people that were giants. Okay, let me just find the pasuk. Amalek, Yilidi Anak Inu Sham, Vayas Kalev, let me go back. Shaminas and Nephilim. I'm looking for the pasuk of Anshei Midos. Where does it say in the pasuk the people of Anshei Midos? The Shamri Inu. Oh, here it is. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayutziu Dibas Aretz Asher Toru Esa Al Bnei Yisrael Lemar Haaretz Asher Avarnu Bo Losur Esa Eretz Oicheles Es Yoshveha. This is a horrible place. People are dying like flies. They're going like flies. The land is Oicheles Yoshveha. It eats up its inhabitants. He V'chol Am Asher Inu B'Soicha Anshei Midos. They're giant-sized people. They don't sell regular and small. They only sell jumbo-sized clothing. Giant-sized. What kind of country is this? We went to Macy's. They only sell extra large. They don't have, you know, slim-fit pants there.
They don't report seeing any other people, do they?
No, they do not.
That's interesting.
So, what does this mean over here? So Rashi tells us that when we went there, all we saw were funerals. They were burying the dead. Every day we just saw funerals the whole day. So Rashi tells us Hashem did this by design. Hashem delayed the death of the people that should have died until this time, because if they would have been living, going on about their life 9 to 5, they would have been discovered and their lives would have been in jeopardy. So Hashem gave them activities to be preoccupied. And Hashem caused all the people to die. Well, some say Eve died that day. And when the greatest person dies, they take out all the dead to be buried in one shot. They were preoccupied in burying the dead. Hashem did this for them as a chesed, in order that they should be busy. They will not be, they'll be distracted. And they're not going to check their passport and their papers to determine, who are you? What are you doing over here? But they had an attitude. They had a bad attitude, and everything that they see, they only want to interpret one way. It's skewed, like the media. Take one story, you can the way you interpret it, oh, look at this, the land is a disease land. There's some terrible disease and toxins in the air. Everyone is dying. And they said then, and now in connection, that's what they're dying. Eretz Echeles Yoshvech, V'alav Asher Inu V'soich, all the people, Anshei Midos, they're giant-sized people. Now, when we learn a pasuk of Nevuah, we have this very often, Hashem shows a Navi something, and they interpret it in their ways. Everyone, Hashem showed all of the Nevim the exact same movie, and each one described it from their perspective based upon what is value to them. The Torah tells us, Chazal tell us, that the Torah is cool. This from I'm elaborating upon what Rabbi Mayevsky told me. This is his word. The Torah tells us, Chazal tell us that the Torah is kuloi chesed. Kula chesed. How do you know it's kula chesed? The beginning of the Torah begins with HaKadosh Baruch Hu providing clothing. Hashem is a clothing gemach for Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava were naked before Pesach, free suits. Come, free clothing. A clothing gemach. And the end of the Torah, Hashem, is a free burial society. HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu. By Yikbar Oysoi, by Hashem, Bechloide Uva Atzmo, buried Moshe Rabbeinu. There is no greater chesed than burial. Chesed shel enes. Chesed she'oisim im hameisim she'enoi mitzapel l'shum gimol. It's the greatest chesed. The Torah begins with chesed, ends with chesed. Hashem showed the spies that this land is a very great land. This land produces people who are anshei midos. What does it mean, anshei midos, in our vernacular? People of character, of stature. What makes a person of stature? Chesed. And what kind of chesed? What is the ultimate chesed? Chesed shel emes. When the people in Eretz Yisrael, when they're dead, when their relatives die, you know what they could have done? They could have left them out on the lawn for the sanitation to come pick up. Someone in the house died, put him in a plastic bag, recycling, and put him out in the corner, and let the sanitation come and pick up the body. And I go to work. I have a job. I go to work. Let the sanitation take away the dead bodies. That's what they did in Japan. You know, that's what they did in Japan. In Shanghai, they came around with the garbage trucks to pick up the dead bodies lying on the floor. I should go take off from work to bury the dead, give cover to the mason, and to bury the dead myself? What, are you kidding? Person died. Pack him up. Put him in front of the house for the garbage collectors. The people of Eretz Yisrael, Hashem showed the Meraglim, are anshei midos. The land produces a quality of dignity, chashivas. Now, let's not get carried away here. The Canaanim were people that were morally corrupt. That's why Hashem got rid of them. That's the first Rashi in the Torah. Hashem told them, I gave it to you and now you're out, because they committed the worst averos possible of Avodah Zarah. But no, it's interesting. Avraham Avinu, he wanted to marry from... But Hashem showed the Meraglim an element. Just gonna make this closer. Hashem showed the Meraglim. There is an element about the land that produces anshei midos, people of stature. In this prat, in one prat, they're oisik in chesed. What kind of chesed? The ultimate chesed, the chesed shel emes. This was something very positive. But because the Meraglim, they have a bad attitude, soif mais machshava techila, the same way they deviated from Moshe telling them, ulekachtem tu vayichresu, when Hashem showed them, the people there, anshei midos, they're involved in chesed shel emes. And if this is what these corrupt, wicked people are able to do, and they're so corrupt and irreparable, they have to be removed to make use of Klal Yisrael. Could you imagine Klal Yisrael coming into this land, and this land having its influence upon Klal Yisrael, who are naturally good people, who have received the Torah? What kind of anshei midos they will become? What kind of people of stature? Kal v'chomer, ben b'nei shel kal v'chomer. If the Canaanim that we know were morally corrupt, irreparably corrupt, and had to be removed, they had this milah of the pasuk saying about them that v'chol ha'mashari'inu v'soicha anshei midos. In the proof is in the same pasuk because it says it's an eretz oicheles yoshevahi. It was a day where people died and everyone took off from work to bury the dead, to give kavod acharon to the dead. Chesed shel emes. And that is an element of anshei midos. Could you imagine when Klal Yisrael will come into this land, how much greater this land will inspire them to become, to catapult them to even more exalted levels of greatness? But instead, the Meraglim, the same Meraglim that took Moshe's directive of ulekachtem usimachtem lefnei Hashem ulekechem and transformed it vayichrisu with an attitude of hate, malice, and disgust, when they see this, they say, oh, people are dying. There are toxins in the earth, in the air, in the water. It's a horrible place. There's so much death. And everyone is involved in getting rid of the dead. It's a matter of how you look at it. It's a matter of perspective. Everything in life, the Musa Haskell is every single thing in life. You can look at it. Vayichrasu. You can say it's a poisonous environment, or you can ulekachtem, usimachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem. When you see the fact that there is a tragedy, listen, we don't know why tragedies happen, but you see the response, you see how the kiddush shem shemayim that came out of the tragedy, you make from lemons lemonade, that is a quality of nobility to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands from Klal Yisrael to achieve and to elevate and to perfect. Okay, Rabbi Mayevsky, thank you for that vart. I hope I said over correctly. Now let's go. I want to go now to another. Let's go now to discuss something else, an idea, a general theme. I never appreciated this Rashi. I don't know if you remember this Rashi. Rashi asked a very basic question. Rashi, it's later on in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Perik Yudalit, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Rashi asked a very obvious, basic, elementary question. The spies spent 40 days in the 40 days away in Eretz Yisrael. They came back and they issued a slanderous report. Hashem was upset, Hashem punished them. Because you were away for 40 years, you will now be punished. Yoim Lashana.
40 days.
You're 40 days, you were away for 40 days, you will be punished for each day a year. Yoim Lashana. For every day that you were away spying the land, you will remain in the desert for an entire year. So how many years should they have remained in the desert? For another 40 years. How many years have they already been in the desert? 1 year. So the grand total should be 41 years in the desert. How many years were they in fact in the desert? 40.
Well, yeah.
So what's going on? What is going on? If the punishment is Yom Lashana and the event took place in the second year, so you should be punished for another 40 years. For a grand total of 41 years. Who is the one who asked this question? Rashi asked this question. And Rashi answers that the 40 years include the Egel. The Egel is, what would he mean? The Egel was immediate. The Egel was done immediately after they left Mitzrayim. And when they worshiped the Egel, Hashem already said to himself, you know what? Let them remain here in the desert. Hashem already had it already crossed Hashem's mind. They should be in the desert for 40 years. I'm assuming Rash doesn't say this. How many days did Moshe go away? 40 days. It's an incredible. There's a Rash, he's basically, he doesn't say this outright, but basically, how many days Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days? When they came down and after 40 days, they couldn't wait one more moment and they worshiped the eagle. So that goes to show that for 40 days, They weren't so happy with Moshe Rabbeinu. So Rashi says Hashem was already planning to keep them in the desert for 40 years, corresponding to the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim. Moshe told them to wait for me. They did not wait. That's a revelation from day one. They had no plan on waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu. It just goes to show that already there was a problem from the very beginning. And Hashem really wanted to punish them by staying in the Midbar for 40 years, for the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim. But what happened? Hashem said, you know what? I forgive you. I forgive you. You know what? I'm not going to punish you. Because Moshe said to Hashem, Zechor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yaakov, and Hashem said, no, I forgive you. Forgive you, okay. And then they send the Meraglim in the second year. And the Meraglim spent 40 days. And it was like a repeat. It's a repeat like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days. The Meraglim went to Eretz Yisrael for 40 days. This time Hashem says, I'm not forgiving you.
So you're saying it was reinstated.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this. Rashi says this. Okay? How can we not know this Rashi? V'shana rishoy nechayse b'chlal v'yafal pisha kodmo l'shlecha Meraglim. The answer is, when they made the Egel, here's the answer, also Gezeres Zubimachshava. Hashem already decided that in the very first year, for the 40 days that Moshe was away, it would be 40 years in the desert. Ella Shehimtin, there was a stay. Hashem did not institute this. Lohem Asha Tismale Sosom, until they did it a second time. They send the Meraglim for 40 days. Oh, so now I'm going to get you for what I wanted to get you for the very beginning. So therefore, in essence, a very interesting thing, the 40 years in the desert, to a very large degree, is for the Egel, not for the Meraglim. It's both. It really started, Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days. We should have been in the desert for 40 years. Yom Lashana for the Egel. Hashem, you know, we'll wait. But now when they worship, now when they sent the spies and they made more trouble for 40 days, oh, I'm going to give you what I wanted to give you from the very beginning. So you're ready, 1 year, you're ready in the desert.
Because the eagle is only 1 day.
No, it's the same. Well, the spies also only 1 day. When the spies came back.
No, the spies were 39 days.
The spies were away for 40 days. They were away for 40 days. The report was issued in 1 day. But the report was Megala, what you were thinking for 40 days, for 40 days. So we get you in all 40 days. That means by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the same thing. Moshe, I'm going to Shemayim, wait for me. They didn't want
to
wait. Exactly. That's why Hashem wanted to punish them for 40 years, Yom Lashana, because they already were harboring evil thoughts from the moment Moshe Rabbeinu left. It's like when your parents go to a wedding and they have a babysitter. The moment the parents walk out of the house, you already have your plans for the first moment. Okay? It all starts the moment, from the very beginning, it's all there. So what comes out is that this Rashi is really a real eye-opener, is that the 40 years in the desert is really a combination of two sins. It's the combination of Yom Lashana for the 40 days that Moshe went to Shemayim, where they really were planning to do the Egel right away, looking for an excuse, and the 40 days that the Meraglim went to issue a slanderous report about Eretz Yisrael. Two things. Okay. Two different elements. Now, at the end of this parasha, we find a whole collection of mitzvahs in this parasha. Okay. I'm going to go back to this. There's a Minchas Nesachim, which I passed over by mistake, but we'll do it for now. But after we have the Minchas Nesachim, we have a whole collection of mitzvahs, which seemingly have nothing to do with this parasha. We have Avodah Zarah. If a person worships Avodah Zarah, he has to bring a korban. He has to bring a special korban. But before Avodah Zarah, I'm sorry, I left out the mitzvah of challah. The mitzvah of Hafroshas Challah. After the mitzvah of Hafroshas Challah, we have the mitzvah of Avodah Zarah. Very bizarre. You would think that we should put this in Parsha in Chumash Vayikra. What's it doing here? In Chumash Vayikra. And then the last part of the Parsha is the Parsha of Tzitzis. And I'm grouping together the Mekoshesh. The Mekoshesh is all part of Tzitzis because he didn't. The Mekoshesh is wrapped together with the Tzitzis. That's pretty clear. The reason why the Mekoshesh did the Aver was because he had nothing to remind him every single second that he's supposed to observe Hashem's mitzvahs. So Hashem gave the mitzvah of Tzitzis. The question is, what is the connection? Why does the Parsha conclude with these three mitzvahs? My inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai. The chunk of the Parsha is the Meraglim. After the Meraglim, there's a section which let's leave it for now. The Mapilim and what's called Minchas Nesachim. Those two go together, which is really that's really the continuation of the Meraglim. The Mapilim is part of the Meraglim. It's just the continuation of the story. And then I want to say is that the mitzvah Minchas Nesachim is a response to the Mapilim. If we have time, we'll discuss it in a moment. But then the parasha ends off with something very bizarre. We learn about challah. All of a sudden, it's not enough. We have truma, we have meiser. It would seem that when you learn Chumash Vayikra and Hashem told you to be mafresh truma and mafresh meiser, we're done. How many gifts do you have to give the kohen already? You gave him the truma, you gave the meiser. He got the truma meiser. Again, another thing. Then now, when I make the dough, I have to give another gift. I already gave him the raw materials. What's this? What are you putting upon me new things? We already finished discussing all of the Matnois Kohuna. Chumash Vayikra is the Mokoim where it describes all of the gifts you give to the Kohen. You finished Chumash Vayikra, we're done. We've paid our taxes. What is this? Now the IRS calls you up, we have a new law and we want you to give more money. Even though you filed your taxes, very good, but since tax day, we still have enough revenue, so we have a new law, we file the taxes, give us more. What's going on over here? New mitzvah of truma, of challah? And then, after challah, avodah zarah. Avodah zarah? You do avodah zarah? What's going on over here, avodah zarah? You want to talk about kribonis? We have kribonis. And then, tzitzis. I think the answer is very simple. Rashi, when it begins the parasha of challah, Rashi says, the mitzvah of challah is fundamentally different than all of the other mitzvahs. All of the other mitzvahs, hatluyos ba'aretz, begin with the words, ki savo'u, when you enter. This is the only mitzvah that begins, bivoyachem. It doesn't say, ki savo'u, bivoyachem, a different expression, Rashi says. Let me see if I can find it very quickly. The first Rashi, on the parasha of challah, Rashi says, unique, bivoachem, meshune biyazu mikol biyaz shebetoira, shebekula nemar ki savo, kisavou, lefich akulon lemeda zumi zu. The kevon sheparlo chakasa biachas miyam sheine el leacha yushav yeshiva, afkan, af kulon kain. Aval zu nemar bo bivoachem. Immediately. In other words, challah, all truma, and meiser do not begin until after 14 years after you enter into Eretz Yisrael. You come into the land, no obligations, grace period. I have to settle down, unpack my boxes, I have to paint, I have to get everything. You know, you want me to start up all the mitzvahs, hatluyos baretz, give me time and space. Challah is unique. When you bake your bread, the day you walk into the land, the day you get off the plane and you kiss the earth, you're now in a holy place. You're going to give challah. This mitzvah starts immediately. Then we have avodah zarah. Challah and avodah zarah are new mitzvahs that were given in response to the combination of the Egel and the Meraglim. The Egel was forgiven, or was put away. When Klal Yisrael sinned with the Meraglim, Rashi says, it reinstated the Egel. And now is the time for action. You did the Egel, you know what, forget about it. Forget about it. No consequences. But Hashem's mind was already thinking. You now sin with the Meraglim? Oh, we're going to get you for both now. 40 years for two sins. The sin number one of the Egel and the sin number two of the Meraglim. What is we need? It's not enough to punish you to go into the 40 years. I'm going to give you two mitzvahs to repair you for the rest of your existence. Challah is a repair of the chibas ha'aretz. All of the other mitzvahs, you don't have to do it right away. You come into the land, you settle down. The mitzvah of hafrashas challah is unique. It began the moment you got off the plane, the moment you kissed the earth. Bivoyachem, I'm giving you a new mitzvah that you should show me how much you love Eretz Yisrael. Not like the Meraglim who despise the land. And the way that this mitzvah shows the chiba more so than any other mitzvah, there's no delay. The moment you come into this land, what this earth produces, give to the Kohen immediately from your, what goes in your mouth. What about, and then now I'm going to get you also for the Egel. What is the Egel? Avodah Zarah. You worship an idol. You worship the Egel. You know what? I'm going to give now special korbanos. Until this point, I'm a person would accidentally worship an Avodah Zarah. Would you have to bring a korban? No. So you did an Avera. I spoke during davening. Talk during davening. You said Lashon. You bring a korban. You talk during davening. No, there's no korban. You do teshuvah. No. We're now going to bring front and center to your conscience the fact that you worshiped an idol. And any time a person accidentally worships an idol, whether it's an individual, whether it's the tzibur, they have a special set of korbanos. Because now that we have reinstated the idol, the egel, so now we're gonna give you new mitzvahs, new laws. You should never forget the egel. And if a person ever has the shalom worship of the zara, you're going to have to go and remember the Egel, and there's going to be a whole new plan. The reason why this new mitzvah was presented is because now that we have reinstated the Egel, we have a whole parish of korbanos for Avodah Zarah. Now that we've been punished for Eretz Yisrael, I want you to show me your love for Eretz Yisrael by giving you the mitzvah of challah. And then we come to tzitzis. And tzitzis is the synthesis of both together. Tzitzis has two parts. There's the white and the blue. You put on the tzitzis, the white strings. And on top of that, v'yamarta alehem v'yasulachem tzitzis al kanfei v'gdehem l'doros. Rashi says, what I want to say over here is that tzitzis synthesizes the egel and the chivas aretz. The egel, here's the point, the egel, what is the Egel all about? We didn't want to leave Egypt. The Egel, there are two parts to the story. Leaving Egypt, and part two, coming into Eretz Yisrael. It's a two-part process. The worshipping of the Egel is Eila Elohecha Yisrael Asher Hotziacha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. It's explicit. When they worship the Egel, they didn't just, oh, we're going to worship a new God. No. They connected the Egel to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem did not take us out of Egypt. It was the Egel that took us out of Egypt. Eila Elohecha Yisrael Asher Hotziacha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Part two is coming into the lack of law for Eretz Yisrael. Tzitzis begins, Rashi says, with a very bizarre expression. V'yasu lohem tzitzis al kanfei vigdehem. Rashi says the word kanfei is not the correct word. Why is the word kanfei present? To remind us of the pasuk, this Rashi, v'ese eschem al kanfei nesharim v'avi eschem eloi. The kanfei nesharim is this is the merging of this two-part process. Yitzias Mitzrayim straight to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the famous Chazal that Hashem, Yonis and Menuzil, Hashem took the whole Klal Yisrael, the night of the Pesach, to Eretz Yisrael, and then brought him back. The word Kanfei Rashi says is written here by the parasha of Tzitzis to awaken us up to the pasuk Vo'ese Eschem, I will pick you up al Kanfei Neshum and bring you to Eretz Yisrael. It is the synthesis. The mitzvah of tzitzis is a mitzvah which reminds us is here to correct both of these averos, the aver of the egel and the aver of the meraglim. We begin with a hagdama kanfei, which is the synthesis, and then there are two parts of the mitzvah. There is the lavan and the tcheles. The lavan is yitzias Mitzrayim. The lavan is you put on your tzitzis, v'nostum tzitzis. Al kanfei vigdehem l'doyrei sam, and then it goes on to say part two, v'nosnu al tzitzis haknaf psil techeles. Here it does not say the word l'doyrei sam, because the psil techeles represents the chibas ha'aretz, because the psil is you look at the blue, it reminds you of the yam. Yam is demel rukia, di rukia is demel rukis yakavod. It represents the makom of the hashua sashchina. Eretz Yisrael is the makom hashua sashchina. The white chutin is a reminder that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim to Avdunes Elokim Alohar Hazeh. What's the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? B'Yatziach Es Mitzrayim to Avdunes Elokim Alohar Hazeh is the Torah. You look at the white, it's all the mitzvahs. And then you look at the blue represents the Mokim Hashuas Hashchina, the Kisi Akava, that is Eretz Yisrael. And in your hand, it's the synthesis of the combination of, it's a correction, it's a tool to correct us from the chait of both of these chatoim. The end of the parasha begins, Ani Hashem Elokecha Masher Otzeisi, everyone asks the question, what's the repetition? Ani Hashem Elokecha Masher Otzeisi Eschem Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, period. Why does the pasuk have to say again, Ani Hashem Elokecha? Why? There are many pirushim. But according to what we're saying, the entire mitzvah of tzitzis is the seal of Parsha Shalach. Rashi tells us, when the Meraglim issued the slanderous report, it wasn't just a chait against Eretz Yisrael. It was a reinstatement of the chait of the Egel. And now Hashem is giving us a mitzvah to rectify, to prevent us from ever having this happen again. And the mitzvah of tzitzis captures both of the egel and the chibas ha'aretz. Ani Hashem Elokecha Masher Otzeisi Eschem Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Egypt, not the egel. Eila Elohecha Yisrael Asher Otziacha Esa'am Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, not the egel. And then when it says Ani Hashem Elokecha, here in this holy land, in Eretz Yisrael is a holy land. In this land, who is the God of this land? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. There's no repetition. The mitzvah of tzitzis captures both of the chatoim that we're coming to rectify. Parsha Shalach deals with the meraglim. Rashi makes it clear as day. The chait of the meraglim is reinstated. The chait of the egel, the 40 days of waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu, Yoim Lashana. There's a Yom Lashana of Moshe Rabbeinu, waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu, 40 days, and the Yom Lashana of what the spies in 40 days. They have now been reinstated. And now it's not just enough for me to punish you by putting you in the desert for 40 years. In addition, I have to give you new mitzvahs. New mitzvahs that you did not have yet in order to repair this damage. So let me give you one specific mitzvah for the Egel, the Korbanos of Avodah Zarah. For the Yochid and for the Klal. And let me give you a new mitzvah in order that you should appreciate the Chibas Haaretz. Bivoyachem, Mishuna, Biyazu, Mikol. This mitzvah begins the moment you step on the land. Show me your Chiba. And in addition to giving you a mitzvah for one and a mitzvah for the other, let me give you another mitzvah that will synthesize both of them together. And that's the mitzvah of tzitzis. Because it says by the mitzvah of tzitzis, it begins with kanfei, vo'eso eschem al kanfei nesholim v'ovi eschem eloi, to take you from Egypt to Eretz Yisrael, the whole picture. And now let's break it down. First, let me give you the love on the white cords of the tzitzis. L'doyroisam, because that's something that you're going to be for all generations. Golos, not lavdavgan Eretz Yisrael. And what is the white? What was the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim? B'yitziachas om Mitzrayim tavdunis lakim alaharazeh. You're in the desert, you're going to be mekamel the Torah when you leave Mitzrayim. But I want you to have the chibas ha'aretz. And that's put on the tzitzis, the tcheles. It's not ledoy roisam. You're not going to be married for all generations to live in Eretz Yisrael, but I want there to be the tcheles. And the tcheles represents the mokoyim hashua sashchina. The tcheles is the miliyam, dam liyam luki ukil, dam luki si hakovit. And then there's the parsha concludes, ani hashem elokeichem, don't forget the egel. It's I that took you out of Egypt, not eile elohecha yisrael asher otziach hasam in Mitzrayim. And when you come into Eretz Yisrael, don't forget. Eretz Yisrael is a holy land. I am in that land. The repetition of the pasuk, the last pasuk, we say every single day, twice a day. Everyone is mafalpel in the repetition. But when you look at tzitzis relative to the parsha. And the critical Rashi that is an eye-opening Rashi, that everything about the Egel is just a reinstatement of the Egel, and the two of them are go together. Now, when you finish the end of the parsha, now we have a new appreciation. We're addressing in a responsible way the Egel, and we're addressing the Meraglim. First, we address one at a time, and then we address them together. The connection between them in the rectification through positive reinforcement. Being in the desert 40 years was punitive, punishment. But now we have to rectify it in a positive way by giving you new mitzvahs. Rabbi Yitzhak, thank you very much for coming and listening to a wonderful Shabbos. Yeah. Shabbos Mevarchim this week? Is this week Shabbos Mevarchim?
Yes.
This Shabbos Mevarchim. Yeah. Okay, what day is Rosh Chodesh? Thursday, Friday, okay? We have a wonderful Shabbos. Good Shabbos. No, because I'm not ready. I have to fix it. So next week, we'll be nether. One day I want to sit down. When we get this all the dust settles, I'll show you exactly what to do.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Good Shabbos. Be well. Shabbos.
When the rabbin came back,
they
said they wanted to appoint a new leader, right? And then Rashi says, "Also by the Zohar."
Yeah.
So they didn't. I mean, so they. So this is.